Two big dunks last night in the NBA. First one, John Collins. Jalen, which one do you like better? This is Exhibit
A. NBA is back. I see you, John Collins, catching
now
the body.
Now Jalen Brown.
And oh, powerful impact. Boom from the cannon. Let's start the show.
Do it. This is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that
we
do?
What they want.
Jalen is doing his hair with a tennis racket. That can only mean one thing. We have a big guest joining us later on in the show. The champ is here. Shakur Stevenson will be joining us in mere minutes. But we start the show with last night's NBA action in Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Nets needed a win. They were hosting the Washington Wizards, and they led from the tip to the buzzer. They made light work of the Wizards, and they got a good performance from Kevin Durant. Jalen, I know you watched this one just like I did. What do you think about this from the Nets?
This was a classic scheduling loss. Early in the season, Washington, short trip to get to hang out in the New York metropolitan area, and the road team just didn't show up. KD didn't have to be outstanding.
No.
Patty Mills has been outstanding. James Harden, still pedestrian. But I have to say something about my guy, Bertans. Keep getting them checks. Like, seriously, this man has 0 points yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
Do you remember his three, when he was in a contract year? When he was in a contract year, my man was shooting like 55% from three, hitting five a game. But let's turn our attention back to the Nets that we've spoken about so much. James Harden did have a highlight three, but he was 1 for 5 from three. I still haven't seen the engaged, dominant James Harden that we saw not only in Houston, but also last year.
I don't see the pace. I don't see the enthusiasm. I don't see the engagement. He doesn't look happy to be there. And they did win the game. But I'm telling you, as this season continues to progress, I'm really going to be following his productivity, his body language, and if he signs his extension, which he has not done yet. I think this Kyrie scenario of not being vaccinated is taking a toll on the performance of James Harden. This man is one of the top 75 NBA players of all time. Like, I'm not talking about in the league right now. I'm talking about of all time. So we know the ability that he has, but it's just a little odd to see how he's performing so pedestrian early in the year.
I'm not going to overreact to just these opening games because I think that they will figure this out. They will be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference in the regular season. We'll see what happens in the playoffs. But I just haven't seen James Harden be the same. Even Blake Griffin hasn't been performing the same as he did last year. He was 1 for 7. And another name that we never talk about with this team, what happened to my guy Joe Harris? What happened to knockdown three-point shooter Joe Harris? What happened to him? He was 3 for 11 from three last night. Like, it's not just James Harden who isn't performing up to the standards that we expected. It is the entire team. But I have a lot of faith in this team being able to put together before and after Kyrie eventually gets vaccinated, which he will.
Joe Harris gave you a fly 11 that wasn't efficient. But I want to go back to the Nets up front. And you acknowledge Blake Griffin, who did return but wasn't very productive. I got something for you, Jacoby. If I'm the Nets, pay attention to the Kevin Love situation in Cleveland. If you notice, he played well last night.
I did.
I'm mentioning to you that they need some help up front. Stay tuned.
Kevin Love is not exactly a defensive stopper that they need, but he's definitely going to give you more than Millsap and Griffin and Aldridge, who wasn't playing because he's old and it was a back-to-back. Moving on to the undefeated Chicago Bulls. This one went down to the wire against Toronto in Toronto at the very end of the game. Vucevic on the line with a chance to ice it. Makes one of two, and then Fred VanVleet crosses him up, has an opportunity to win the game. Couldn't do what Kawhi could. But that was a nice little move to give himself some space. Eventually, the Bulls end up getting the win. They are now 4-0. Jalen, it's still early, but is this reworked Bulls roster going to be a problem for the Eastern Conference?
So it's great to see the Bulls have a living, breathing general manager that's actually making moves and their team relevant again. And one of the things they did is get DeMar DeRozan. I don't care where he is. He's going to get you 20 to 25 points every night. Mm-hmm. I don't care who else is on the team. I don't care who's playing defense. And he got a chance to go back to Toronto, a place where someday they're going to retire his jersey. He was enthusiastic to play against his former squad. Great to see Lonzo Ball playing well also. And again, the streets of Toronto are undefeated. Trust me, I know. So for the Bulls to go through customs and still get a win and remain undefeated is really impressive. Please believe me.
I feel you're like 3 years in Toronto added, took away 15 years of your life. That's just kind of how I feel about how that math works. Now, Jalen, there's so much good vibes around the Bulls right now, but, you know, sometimes I see things through a different light. So it is time for a character on the program called Negative Jacoby. He's got to come out. I'm sorry, Bulls fans.
No.
Enjoy your 4-0 start, Chicago Bulls fans. But two of those were against the Pistons. One was last night against the Raptors, and the other was against the Pelicans. Let's just take a look at what lies ahead on the schedule for the Chicago Bulls, because y'all not going to stay undefeated when you play the Knicks, the Celtics, the Sixers, the Mavericks, the Jazz, the Sixers again, the Nets, the Warriors, and that's just the next 8 games. Oh, then the Clippers, the Blazers, the Knicks, the Lakers, man, the Nuggets, and the Pacers. Like, y'all, that's a tough one. So enjoy this right now, Chicago, but Negative Jacoby is here to tell you is all about to fall apart. The wheels of this bandwagon are going to fall off, and this team's going to be about 5-7, 5-8 before you've even eaten Thanksgiving dinner. Sorry.
Negative Jacoby brought out the receipts, brought out the schedule. Shout to Candace Parker and the Chicago Sky. They brought a championship to her hometown. How about
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Enjoy that. Enjoy that, Chicago fans, because you'll not be enjoying the next month of Bulls basketball. Moving on to the NFL, we had Monday night action last. I'm sorry, we had a Monday night game. Not too much action. We had a game. It wasn't too much action. I find myself watching a lot more NBA than this one. It was wet, and the Saints ended up getting the win, but Jalen, is it too much Alvin Kamara? Are they relying too much on Kamara? It seems like they give him the ball on every single down, whether they hand it to him or throw it to him.
Like I told you yesterday, it was going to be like the first Wu-Tang album with Alvin Kamara, and they keep feeding you and feeding you and feeding you and feeding you. Like, you see Ezekiel Elliott do that, but I love Zeke and shout to the Cowboys, but he ain't getting 30 touches. He ain't getting 30 touches. This man got 30 touches rushing and receiving yesterday. I tried to tell you that he was going to do work. And again, it's a function of their offense. Drew Brees isn't under center anymore. Jameis Winston slung the ball all over the lot week one. But it seems that Sean Payton decided to modify that attack, do whatever they had to do to beat up a Seattle Seahawks team without Russell Wilson.
Jameis Winston's reputation is there are flashes of brilliance. You get those touchdowns, but along with those touchdowns, you also get those interceptions. And Sean Payton said, we're not doing that around here. He's like, he's now got 4 games where he hasn't turned the ball over, Winston. And that is because of the way that Sean Payton has engineered this offense. The training wheels are very much on Winston. When you compare, we have a little full screen here that compares the offense but under Breeze and under Winston. Look at completions of 20-plus yards.
Got it.
Look at third down percentage. That 20-plus yards. And it wasn't like Drew Breeze was airing the ball out. You know, like, remember, he was being criticized for not going downfield enough, and Winston is going downfield literally one-third as much. Sean Payton has this design to keep the ball in their hands, and it was enough to beat the Seahawks on a wet night last night. We had an overtime game in the NBA last night between our team, the Charlotte Hornets, and Boston. It was tied at the end of regulation, and it was dominated by the Celtics in overtime. Jason Tatum had a breakthrough performance. What do you think about his 41 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists game?
I want to shout my brother, Ime Udoka, who's a friend of the show, for getting his first win. The other thing I want to acknowledge is Jaylen Brown has gotten off to a blistering start this year. Next, it was great to see Jason Tatum play like an all-NBA version of himself. And I have to say, this was an exciting regular season league pass basketball game.
Yes.
Overtime, double-digit win, but clearly it was closer the entire way. A lot of small ball, a lot of dribble passing and shooting. Miles Bridges is playing terrific also this year. But what about our guy, LaMelo Ball?
You know what I mean? Like,
he balls every night. Every night. The basketball has kinetic energy. He passes, people run, they jump. You see that to Bridges? Look at that action. You see that secondary break to drop to Bridges?
With his left hand?
The left hand pull. And by the way, here's what I love about Nephew. Somebody told him one day that he couldn't shoot. So you know what he was like? Not only am I going to prove my shot, but I'm going to shoot all threes. I want to shoot all threes. He took 14 of them yesterday. He was not playing around.
14 threes, made seven. Didn't have a single two-point basket, which was a little concerning. I like to see him drive more. But seven threes, four free throws, 25 points. LaMelo Ball, he's not the most productive player in the NBA. He's not the most famous player in the NBA. But he's got to be top five most exciting player in the NBA to watch.
Absolutely.
And I'm not being biased. Jalen Rose, who is joining us in mere seconds on the program?
The champ is here. Shakur Stevenson will be joining Jalen and Jacoby next. Sugar, the sweet lefty, right after the break.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17 in the Seaport, New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, who's joining us in the program right now?
The most entertaining fighter in the game is here. The champion, Shakur Stevenson, who just won in dominating fashion over the weekend, is back to join Jalen and Jacoby. We appreciate you, champ. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all too. Most definitely, most definitely.
So watching the fight this weekend, watching you just absolutely dominate Herring for the entire time, what does it feel like to be in the ring and have that much control over your opponent?
I'm kind of used to it by now. I feel like every fight, we dominate, we put on shows like this. I feel like with this fight, it just was a better opponent than everybody expected it to be, a harder fight than it was. And we didn't prepare for a hard fight. We prepared to dominate, and that's what we do.
So I want to take off my glasses as I ask this question. So let me get this route right. You've gone 43 consecutive rounds without a human being landing a punch against you. That's immaculate defense. Like, how have you gotten to the point as a fighter where you're basically unhittable?
I study the game. Like, I really sit and watch boxing all day. I watch fighters like Pernell Whitaker. I watch Floyd Mayweather, I watch Andre Ward, and I get to see how they use their defense and they use their offense, and I pick up on certain things at the end of the day, and I got a great reaction, and all that comes into play when I fight. So at the end of the day, we in the gym, we working, and we work on these things, and they show up on fight night.
Well, it certainly did this weekend, and there's a few natural opponents for your next fight, one of which is obviously Oscar Valdez, who is undefeated in your weight class. Is that fight going to happen?
Most definitely. I feel like it got to happen at the end of the day. We as boxers had to fight the best boxers, and Oscar Valdez is one of the best fighters in my division, and I'm one of the best fighters in the division. I feel like it's a fight that need to happen. I feel like that it need to happen next, and I think Valdez need to stop running. That's all I feel like. I feel like he's running, he's ducking, and I don't feel like he can keep running no more.
Shout out to the OG Jay Prince. I want to elaborate on something you just said. He's been running, because that's what I wanted to ask you. Why has this fight not happened yet?
I mean, it was supposed to happen when we was 126. He kind of moved up in weight after saying that he'll stay in weight for Leo Santa Cruz and Josh Warrington. But it's all on him now. Like, at the end of the day, I can't keep calling it, and he can't keep ducking at the end of the day. I feel like he keeps trying to ignore my name and act like I don't exist, but I clearly exist and I'm clearly here. So I don't know what we're waiting on.
Well, if he keeps ducking you, is there a chance that you could move up to 135? Because there's a lot of star power in that weight class. Would you consider that for your next fight?
Nah, we're not going to move up to 135 just yet. I want to win several belts at 130. I want to dominate the division, and I want to be the man at 130. So I got to win just more than this one belt that I got in order to do that. But we're going to get there. We're not too far from moving up to 35, and I can't wait to get there, too.
As one of your fans, I have to tell you something. I appreciate the fact that you're a perfectionist, but you are a little hard on yourself after your other fight. And I felt like you put on a terrific performance. This weekend was an excellent performance. Just talk about how you want to continue to improve as a fighter that's unblemished right now at 17-0.
At the end of the day, you got to understand, I know what I could do. I know what I go in the gym and do. That fight that I had, I felt like I was flat. I felt like I didn't feel as sharp as I was. I dominated, but I usually feel sharper, and that was mainly what I was thinking about my last fight. I wanted to show how sharp I was and how good I am as a fighter. So we went in the gym, we worked on that, and it came to full display Saturday. So I just feel like I got the right to be hard on myself, because I'm I put in all the hours in the gym, and I know what I can do come fight night.
Well, certainly showed up this weekend. And Jalen mentioned it earlier that you have a relationship with Jay Prince, who's got sort of ties to the world of hip hop and the world of athletics. What is that relationship like, and how do you guys help each other?
That's really like my family. Like, Jay Prince is more like family to me. I look up to Jay Prince. I want to be just like somebody like Jay Prince as I get older. And I appreciate the fact that I got Jay Prince in my life to guide me through certain things and show me how to handle certain situations. So it's definitely a great relationship, and we definitely gonna keep going up.
I always tell people, there isn't an event like a major championship prize fight. Not the Super Bowl, not the NBA Finals, nothing. So what is it like for you to be the marquee draw in boxing? You entered the ring, you had Kanye West next to you, Ye West as he changed his name. So what is that part of the game like for you as you continue to ascend?
It's definitely a good feeling. Putting on shows, bringing out Kanye West, Michael B. Jordan, other celebrities, and just being a household name, I feel like I want to get bigger in the sport of boxing. So them the nights that I got to perform. Like, I feel like once I seen Kanye West, once I seen all the people in the crowd, it just bring the best out of me. I feel like that's the night that I put on my best show. So at the end of the day, I want to be a household name. I want to get more known in the face of boxing and the sport of boxing. And I got to keep putting on shows like that to do it.
Well, I have some news for you, Shakur. You are a household name now, and you are no longer going to sneak up on anybody, whether it's inside or outside of the ring. Are you ready for this next level of stardom, and how do you expect to maintain that work ethic that's got you to this point?
You just got to stay focused at the end of the day. I got a little girl on the way. I got a baby on the way, and I'm real motivated now. Like, I just feel like I want to get back in the gym. I'm telling myself, chill out, because I got to rest my body at the hard camp like that. But I'm ready to get back in the gym. I'm motivated. I want to keep getting better and better and keep staying sharp and focused and staying in the gym. So you got to just stay motivated. You got things that motivate you. Like I said, my daughter on the way, that got me like ready to provide even more for her. Like, I want to give her the best life ever. So I got to stay motivated.
Congratulations with having your daughter on the way. I remember when my oldest daughter was born, it actually changed my life as well. Made me more disciplined, made me more focused, and made me want to be more successful. But we can't have an undefeated fighter who's terrific at defense on our show and a great puncher, but not acknowledge your comparisons to Floyd Mayweather. What do you think about those comparisons?
I mean, at the end of the day, I can't be mad at the comparison. I feel like I am the first Shakur Stevenson. I'm going to keep saying that. But at the end of the day, you got to understand, people compare Kobe to Jordan at the end of the day. When they seen Kobe play, and everybody start thinking Jordan. Yep. But Kobe was his own player at the end of the day. Kobe made his own name, and he did everything that he was supposed to do. So I appreciate the comparison now. Like, I appreciate everybody comparing me to Floyd, but I am my own fighter, and I'm going to keep working to being my own fighter. But it's definitely a good comparison. That means I'm doing something right.
Well, you were certainly doing something right inside the ring, doing something right outside the ring. Congratulations on the impending birth of your daughter. Thank you so much for joining us on Jalen Jacoby.
Thanks a lot, champ.
You are always welcome to join us here.
Appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Appreciate y'all.
No doubt.
World Series Game 1 tonight between the Braves and the Astros. We'll get you ready right after this. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. We want to thank Shakur Stevenson for coming by. We have exclusive content with the champ on our podcast. Make sure you listen to that and make sure you check in on the World Series this evening. It is Atlanta against Houston. Two great cities. Jalen, should we just go to every game?
All I know is this. Not only are these the two best teams in baseball this year, I can argue that these cities have the best adult entertainment establishments in the United States of America.
Will the cheating scandal be looming over all of this and make the entire country root for the Braves?
I think I'm going to go to a couple of these games, fam. You know, the summer of Jalen is happening. But I got to say this. The Astros, after cheating, are back in the World Series and seem to be doing it the right way. Now, I don't like cheaters in any way, shape, or form. But it is impressive that they made it back to the World Series after overcoming those allegations.
It's a good point, Jalen. You want to give a special shout out to finish the show?
Shout out to Big Sean and Hit Boy. What up, though, Detroit? My brother got a hit single out right now called What a Life, and he took the time and the energy to mention JRLA in his bars. Did you know in 2015, Big Sean was at the first JRLA graduation? I appreciate you, family. See y'all tomorrow.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content. We'll be giving you the full podcast portion of the interview with Shakur Stevenson later.
I want to thank Shakur for coming through.
Yes, Mr. Indeed. Rose. What up, though?
This is a sticky topic, right? The Sixers used to fine Ben Simmons for missing every practice and games. There was over $1 million in fine leveled on Mr. Simmons. And he went to the front office and said that he's having some back problems, and he's also not mentally ready to play. So since he made that statement, he's no longer being fined for missing practices. I have no idea as to Ben Simmons' mental state, how serious his mental health issues are. But I think this is an interesting wrinkle. Mr. Rose, what do you think?
I think that anytime mental health is acknowledged, we have to take it serious. In every circumstance, there has to be context as well. The one thing about being an adult, a human being, a productive one, like, life is gonna throw challenges at us, adversity at us, turbulence at us. And at times we all are going to have to fight and continue to fight how to overcome it. And while I joked on this show about if I was him, I would have came to camp and said that my back hurt and still got my check. It seems like indirectly that's what happened. But at the same time, I want to make people think about this. I've been a public figure really since I was, 18 years old, right? And I even have people out here trying to troll me about covering me since I was a youngster. Almost like the Kwame Brown thing in a different way. But with that being said, the one thing about being famous and the one thing about being a public figure, that type of thing, is it can be taxing psychologically and emotionally. You see this when you're around me all of the time. Before I leave the house, I'm gonna have to make a conscious effort to be on or not leave the house. And I enjoy my celebrity. I appreciate all of the great fortunes and the opportunities that I've been blessed with. But think about this. When you don't play basketball well at your rec league, how do you feel?
Terrible.
Right. So imagine if you were in the NBA and millions of people were counting on your performance and you had zeros in the fourth quarter and your team lost to the Hawks. How would you feel?
Even worse. And people would be talking about it for the next 3 days. And my coach and my teammate had something to say about it after the game.
And so now, like, here's what I don't want people to do. You can't separate church and state here. And what I mean is, just because I'm able to overcome my turbulence, it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he gets paid a lot of money to play the game that he loves. But I've also said this when he got drafted. It's uniquely interesting for me that a basketball player of his skill and talent, an all-NBA player, an all-star, has a mental block to where he does not want to, this is the key word, attempt shots outside of the paint. Like, that's a mental block right there. Clearly, a challenge that he has. And I noticed a lot more confidence shooting those jump shots when nobody's in the stands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, we all seen the Instagram videos. We all 10 in a row, 12 in a row, in pickup, fade away 17-footers with the defender on them, all that.
Unless you're Trae Young or Shakur Stevenson, you're not making 12 in a row unless you have some confidence, right? His confidence evaporates when butts get in the stands and the score get on the board and the pressure arises. So he already had a mental challenge, in my opinion, that he still was able to overcome and become a great basketball player. However, now that you're back in Philadelphia, the only way they're going to be able to move him is for him to play in their uniform. I wish I spoke multiple languages, but I've been saying this the entire time. He can't get moved until he plays. And so I got a deal for you. This is our famous Podfather old school segment of Who Says No. I got a Ben Simmons deal for you. Mm-hmm. And here's a couple of parameters for his deal. I hate to tell you, Dale Murray, whoever you get for Ben Simmons, they weren't an all-star last year or this year. I repeat, whoever you get for Ben Simmons did not play in the all-star game last year and will not be playing in the all-star game this year. So this idea that you're going to get an all-NBA caliber player in return, I'll just have to let you know something. I'm not going to be able to do it. That's not happening. So I want to ask my brother, David Jacoby, who places all of my bets in Jersey safely and legally. Who says no? Ben Simmons for? This is a great deal. I like this deal a lot. I really like this deal a lot. But who says no? Ben Simmons for Kristaps Porzingis.
If I'm the Sixers, I'm not interested. I mean, I'm not interested. I got Joel Embiid. You know what I mean? I can't really play Embiid and Kristaps at the same time. You think you can't play you turn Kristaps into Carmelo Anthony on the Lakers? Like, he's going to stand in the corner? like what's he going to do? Like, it's just not a fit. You know what I talk about? Redundant stars. First of all, calling Kristaps a star is probably the nicest thing anyone ever said about him for 3 years. But... no, if I'm the Sixers, I say no to that. What about C.J. McCollum and, like, a couple pieces and some pick swaps? That, to me, is the deal that's sitting right there that makes both teams better. It makes both teams better.
So I want to go back to the Kristaps part, and then I'll get to family CJ McCollum. So, like, in breaking down a player and doing comparisons and doing trades, the first thing you got to do is acknowledge the player's best attributes. And either you don't like Kristaps Porzingis as a shooter, or you don't think that he's going to be able to make shots going forward. Because the first thing you talked about was him and Joel being redundant, when actually Kristaps is supposed to be somebody that can knock down threes.
I don't think their three-point shooting percentage is that different. I'm going to look it up right now.
And by the way, whatever he shoots from three, as you looking things up, is better than Ben Simmons.
It's hard to be worse than Ben Simmons.
So whatever you looking up, it's going to be better than that. And so I bring that up because that's the kind of deal it's going to be. Like, I ain't going to even lie. You ready for this? If I'm the Blazers, I say no.
To CJ?
If I'm the Blazers, I say no. Let me tell you something, dog. CJ McCollum is a 25 point per game scorer. It ain't that many of them in the league. It may be 50 people that could average 25 points a game in the league. Maybe. Given an opportunity. He's one of those people. You know who ain't one of them people? Ben Simmons. And well, this would be an offense for defense trade, right?
Yes.
If you're the Blazers, you've always needed help up front. Dame gonna have the ball. Simmons can play off the ball. But here's what you can't do if you're the Blazers. You can't give up draft capital. That's why this deal hasn't happened. So say I do the deal that you say, and I give up CJ, and I giving up picks.
Swaps.
Now that's my team.
Swaps. Swaps.
Yeah, but I can't. I have Dame on my team, right? And because I have him, I need to keep him happy. And only having Ben ain't gonna be the solution. I like the deal, however, for both teams. But let me tell you something, in Philly, it's a little crowded when you bring in CJ to go with Curry, Maxey, Thibault,
Milton,
like all of those guys are getting those minutes. You and CJ is better than all of them, in my opinion.
Easily.
Right? He's better than all of them, right?
Absolutely.
So, if I'm the Blazers and you're going to give me Ben and Curry, we can start talking. But I guarantee you guys, when Ben gets traded, they're going to have to part with one of their shooters too. Because the person that's trading for Ben is going to say, we know he can't shoot. So you at least got to give me somebody that can in this deal. That's what's holding it up.
Ben and Curry for Covington and CJ McCollum. Do it. Do it.
If I'm Portland, I'll do that.
I like that.
And I'll do that. Dame need that. Dame need a secondary ball handler.
And that, the whole, like, Pacers package doesn't really make any sense to me. Like, the whole, like, oh, we'll give you Malcolm Brogdon and like, you know, some picks and, like, I don't see the Pacers being able to put anything together that makes sense for me.
You know what I really don't want for Ben Simmons? Late first-round picks.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't want late first-round picks.
No, thank
you. Like, he was a lottery pick. Where did he go, like, third or something?
First. First.
Oh, he went, yeah, he went
number
first.
One.
Yeah, he went number one. Yeah, I don't need pick number 24 for that.
I'm good. Especially you talking like 2025. Nah, like, oh, 2025 first round pick. Like, I don't even know. I'm Kyle Shanahan on that one. Like, I don't even know if I'll be alive in 2025. It'll be another pandemic. He might be playing with no fans in a bubble.
That's why I hope he gets over any mental hurdles he may have as a human being and get out there on the floor and ball.
Let me do the media thing quick. Because this is something that, like, your buddies at the bar that don't really know anything about the NBA will say. But I just want to get your quick reaction on it.
Okay.
Kyrie for Ben Simmons. Who says no?
That's ignorant. Like, you don't know ball. You don't know the league if you even saying that out loud. That's ignorant. That's my answer to that. That's ignorant right there. You ain't trading Kyrie. Now, Kyrie Irving got 100 people that wants to show up at games and cheer for the fact that he ain't vaccinated. God bless those people.
Cheering for Kyrie outside of Barclays, cultural or regional?
Cultural, no doubt. I guarantee there were no black people out there. We ain't riding with them like that.
No, there was. It didn't reflect the diversity of the community. Let's just say that. The demographics of that protest did not represent the diversity of the community around Barclays.
All right, Reg. Reg in my ear, Reg was like, Jalen, you know it was some people that look like us out there. But those are like the contrarians. You know what I mean?
I wonder if Reg is vaccinated.
Those are the people that think the earth is flat. You know what I'm saying? They think the earth is flat. You know what I mean?
No, I think I'm booster eligible, Jay. I'm getting the boosters. I'm getting all the boosters. I'm getting every booster. I'm going to get a booster shot in a booster seat. I'm going to get all the boosters.
You know what I'm going to do?
All of them.
This is what I'm going to do, and I should film it. I want my booster shot in my butt. I want to send a message.
He said, I want to send a message.
We're getting through this thing together. You know what I'm saying? I'm invested. I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask the doctor, can I please do that?
Yeah. So you got arm issues.
Yeah.
They don't care. They're doctors. Messed up.
Exactly.
When I got my shot, I got it at the Javits Center. It was like a military operation. It was not a doctor administering that shot. They did like a 20-second training. They're like, this is what you do. Yeah. I'm going to get this booster. I'm getting the booster.
Rand said you got to get that Moderna.
Oh, I've been doing the research. When you get the J&J, you make a cocktail with either the booster from Pfizer or Moderna, and it becomes more effective than the Moderna. I'm going to be good.
All I know is Dave Chappelle said that was the third best option. That's all I heard. I heard that.
Which, the J&J?
Yeah, I heard the J&J was the third best option.
People always act like I was lazy. Like I had a pull-down menu. Like I was ordering like at the bar. Like I wasn't ordering the vaccine at the bar. So what Reggie don't understand is when he talks in our ear, that the other person on the show can't hear what people are saying. Reggie, we got Darrell Revis, then we got Reggie who just takes over the show and makes sure we can't hear each other just by spewing nonsense in our ears the whole time.
You were the one to try to go take the easy route and get one shot.
See, that's what my wife said too. I did not have a choice. I did not order from a menu, dog. There's soldiers in a convention center being like, who are you, Dave Jacoby? Go next.
See, that's the third best option. You know what I did? Well. You know what I did, Jacoby? I went to Henry Ford Hospital to get mine. I wasn't playing around.
Oh, so you had like a real doctor give you a shot.
And I'm telling y'all right now, I'm getting a booster in my butt. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to at Kyrie and send it to him. I'm saying, you can do it too. He can do it too. He can do it.
James Harden.
Kyrie got to get back. I got to ask you one more question as you bring up James Harden. Can we create some kind of countdown to when Kyrie gets vaccinated? Can we like put something up on the screen on our show every day? Days until Kyrie gets vaccinated type of thing?
He's getting vaccinated.
He's getting vaccinated.
You think we're going to be at the All-Star weekend and Kyrie still hasn't dribbled a basketball with a uniform on? Like, come on, Kyrie.
Can I tell you the funniest thing? Let me tell you the funniest thing. There are going to be human beings that celebrate him coming back. Like, yeah, Kyrie, way to stand up to the man. Way to stand up to the establishment. He only did it because they forced him to. Like, newsflash, Kyrie Irving, if he doesn't play basketball this year, is going to make $18 million. He is not being held captive.
$18 million.
He is not being forced to do anything against his will. What he's doing is the beauty of America. He's exercising his choice. And you know what else? You can't be mad at it. I ain't mad at it. But you know who is going to be mad at it? The Nets.
That's who's going to be mad at it. The Nets. You've been through 13 NBA seasons. You were more or less active in about 11 or 12 of them, okay? But let me just offer a theory out there. I know players don't love training camp.
No.
And I know that the players don't necessarily love the length of the season. Is there a part of Kyrie that's just like, you know what? I'll be there. I'll be there right after Thanksgiving. I'll be in shape. And when the things get serious, I'll be there for the seriousness.
No, I think it's a version of what he said in his 20-minute video because I watched it. He acknowledged that he didn't truly have a plan. He felt like the entire time he was going to play unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. And then the city that he lives in, New York, decided that you must be vaccinated in order to perform indoors. So it's just about proximity. So when New York changed the rule, that left him in an awkward position. Do I now go get vaccinated or not? But can I tell you something under the radar? And I want somebody, because I know people hear me. I believe one of the reasons Cam Newton got released from the Patriots is that he wasn't vaccinated. And I also believe that's also the reason he didn't get another job immediately. But you know what else he did? That Kyrie, in my opinion, eventually is going to do? When it was time to work out for the Seahawks, he got vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. And we got Mike White. We got a guy named Mike White playing quarterback for the Jets. If you're Robert Saleh, you're not like, would I rather have Cam Newton or Mike White? I think I'm going Cam Newton on that one. And they brought in Joe Flacco, but Jalen, a couple things. Number one, I also watched the 20-minute Kyrie video. And there's one thing he said. Remember, everyone's a hero in their own movie, right? Everyone's a victim. Everyone's got forces that are working against them. He said, very briefly, but I watched the whole thing. He said, imagine if you had guaranteed that you were going to be an exception and that, remember that part? I don't know how the exact words.
Dog.
But he made it sound like, oh, no. The league, my agent, the team, they told me that I could play even if I wasn't vaccinated, and then they flipped it on me in the last second. And in his mind, in his reality, he is the victim of being misled by the system. And I'm not saying that that didn't happen, but the policies might have changed the last second. But that's another reason that he's like, I got bamboozled here. I was told I didn't have to be vaccinated, and then I was told I did have to be vaccinated, so give me some time to work this out.
I pointed this out in the offseason. This is the brilliance of Adam Silver. Because like I told you, the league ain't stopping Kyrie from playing. The NBA is not stopping him from playing. The Nets are not stopping him from playing.
The Nets are stopping him from playing road games. He can play road games.
Let me finish. The Nets ain't stopping him from playing. He decided that he's not going to get vaccinated, so therefore he put the team in a position to choose. Are we going to let you parachute in for road games and disrupt everything we're doing? Are we going to adjust everything we're doing to accommodate you? Or are we going to say either you're all in or you all out? That's a choice. and they made the choice that we rather potentially not win the championship this year. Because just think about this. They're basically saying, we rather not win the championship this year versus changing everything we do just to accommodate one of our players who doesn't want to get vaccinated. And you cannot tell me that Kevin Durant, James Harden, ain't looking at him sideways off wax like, dog, you need to get vaccinated just like we did so we can go out here and do this. And so this is why I anticipate he'll get vaccinated. And this is the other thing that's really laughable to me. I just got to say this again. How people going to treat it like it's Colin Kaepernick playing in the NFL? It's laughable to me. It's not the same. Thank you, Reg. It is not the same. It's a different stratosphere. Someone choosing not to get vaccinated and someone taking a knee from before a football game and being ostracized and losing their career, those are two vastly different acts. Please don't compare the two.
So James Harden shot three free throws last night, one free throw two nights ago, not getting to the line, not looking like himself. And he says that he's been made the poster boy for the new foul rules. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the new foul rules aren't necessarily the way that James Harden draws fouls. He draws fouls by being aggressive to the hole, sticking his strong arms out, making contact, and then trying to finish a layup. He's not Trae Young, Chris Paul jumping into people sideways when they come off of screens. He's done it, but to me, I don't necessarily feel that he's right when he calls himself the quote-unquote poster boy for the new rule on fouls.
I'm with you, Reg the Ledge. I don't want to hear that, dog. He looked disinterested. That's the word that comes to mind. And he's so good, he can be disinterested and score 20 points like he did two games ago.
Easy.
Right? Just think about it. I call a player disinterested that had 20 points in that game. That's how good he is. Yeah. And so a couple of things that kind of stood out to me. I don't believe his conditioning is there. And you're right about the foul thing, but the volume and the aggression also isn't there. Like we talked on the show about LaMelo Ball attempted 14 threes in a game. That's who James Harden used to be. Mm-hmm. And you think that without Kyrie Irving, he would be shooting more. He's actually shooting less. And I told you, I'm going to do a list of players that basically are going to define what happens this season. James Harden, Anthony Davis, Ben Simmons, Kristaps Porzingis, and Jamal Murray. And for all different reasons. We
I'm
know about
Kawhi.
Those injuries
I'm
in the West.
I'm throwing Kawhi well, Clay in there too.
Yeah, but they're already elite championship players. Like to me, they've eclipsed this conversation. They've already proven to us that they can get it done. You see in the biggest moments.
Just to defend myself, after injury, we don't know what Kawhi and Clay were getting. That's why I find them pivotal. Like, we know
yes,
who they
sir.
Are in terms of legacy.
Yes, sir.
But if they come back on the floor late in the season, are they the old them, or are they sort of working themselves back and not as effective?
Correct. Agreed. And, again, for me, the words with James Harden are disinterested and just aggression. I don't see I just don't see him having an enthusiasm for the game right now out there on the floor. That's what I see. And this is how he started last year as well. And he was out of shape last year to start the season also.
Well, I have an X's and O's problem for James Harden. Outside of Claxton, Bruce Brown is probably the best role option for him on the whole entire roster. You know what I mean? Like, this ain't Lob City Blake Griffin anymore. LaMarcus Aldridge has never been like a role guy. And Claxton himself is still developing that. Like, a lot of his strengths are, you sent me a pick, and I put the defense in a position to choose or foul me. And I just don't feel like they have that sort of like Clint Capella role guy that's the perfect fit for James Harden.
I honestly think Bruce Brown,
like Bruce Brown's like the best option.
No, we're not doing that. It ain't the refs. It ain't the role guy. It's James himself. That's why we got you. See, you know how I am about this, Jacoby. When I get confused, I look at the best player and be like, that's why we got you, dog. Like, I know we got all of these things wrong with the team, but we got Aaron Rodgers. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to find a way to make it happen. Like, that's what Steph Curry. He's going to find a way to make it happen. We're not talking about, oh, we're going to need Wiggins. It's like, yeah, well, Steph Curry is on their team. And James Harden has won MVP of this league. He's one of the top 75 players of all time. And so it ain't about Bruce Brown. It ain't about LaMarcus Aldridge. It's about his aggression. And I don't see it. And it's disappointing so far earlier in the year.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Somebody tells me that James Harden will turn into James Harden right around the holidays. I think he just eases his way into the season. And I also think that Thanksgiving Day, Kyrie Irving's wearing a uniform, scoring basketballs for the Brooklyn Nets. Right around that time, he is going to get vaccinated, and you will see it. I want to thank Shakur Stevenson for coming through. Man hasn't had a punch landed on him in 43 rounds. That's got to
that
be a record.
That is crazy.
That's got to be a record. Like, he has to start fighting two people. Like, what are we even doing? If me and you were in the ring with Shakur Stevenson, could one of us land a punch in one round? I would say no chance.
So here's the crazy thing about this. When we first asked him about like going 43 rounds without getting hit, I can't front. I thought about that. I was like, if I got in the ring with him, I believe I could land one punch.
You're like, stupid. You are so slow. You are so slow, dog. Honestly, you are so slow. That's like you trying to catch a fly with chopsticks. Like, it's just, they see everything coming before you do. That is not going to happen. It's just a speed thing. As a slow person, I'm a very slow person. Both fast switch muscles and trying to run. Some faster people just get you every time, dog. Like, there's no chance. He is so quick. So quick. He see everything you're thinking before you even move.
Yeah, please. I guess you're right.
Look at you. You do a couple Tai Bo workouts in Connecticut, and you feel like you can land a punch. I see your little Instagram videos with you and Molly hitting bags. Left, left, right, cross, duck. Left, left, right, cross, duck. And now you think you can land a punch against Shakur Stevenson, who hasn't had a punch landed on him in 43 rounds against professional fighters. No, he's in the 130 weight class. You're in the 230 weight class. Who do you think is faster? They have to chop you in half to get to his weight class.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh,
that's
Jim.
Irrational confidence, I guess.
That's what makes you a pro athlete, though. That's what makes
you
a pro athlete. Waking up in the morning thinking you're going to outplay Michael Jordan.
You're right. You're right.
Shakur Stevenson.
You're right.
Please.
I ain't going to even front. I was sitting there thinking, like, I even said to myself, I better be able to land one punch.
Yeah, you'd be asleep. He hit you three times by the time you even got to the last word of that thought.
See, that's the problem. I can't take punches. See, that's the whole problem. See, that's my major problem is I don't want to get hit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know you don't like to fall, but you'd be falling three times in that round. You would fall once. You'd be awake, and you'd just stay down.
You're right. I'd be Nate Robinson out there. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
All right, so now it is time for the rest of our Shakur Stevenson interview. We did a few minutes for them. It's just for the pod, just for our podcast listeners. Here it is. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content with our guest. Shakur Stevenson returns to Jalen and Jacoby after another performance in the ring. So yes, now that we're done with the TV segment, I got to ask you real questions. 43 consecutive rounds without someone landing a punch. Like, is that ever been done before? How's that even possible?
I don't know, man. I owe it to my coaches at the end of the day. My coaches, they get me prepared for these fights, and we work on stuff like that in the gym. So I owe it to my grandfather. He definitely been telling me since a kid that boxing is the art of hitting without getting hit, swimming without getting wet. And it stuck with me for the rest of my life.
That's a great point. So when you're in the studio, when you're in the gym, what music are you listening to these days to get you hype?
I listen to a lot of Lil Durk. I like Lil Durk. Lil Durk is a great artist. I listen to Drake. Mm-hmm. I listen to there's a couple of people I listen to. Lil Baby. I love Lil Baby. Lil Baby a hell of a artist too. So I listen to that type of stuff in the gym. It kind of motivates me.
Now, your athleticism is on display in the squared circle. What other sports are you good at? You hooping? Are you playing football? Oh, yeah. Like, what else are we doing?
Oh, yeah, I could play basketball. I'm good at basketball. I feel like I go play basketball damn near every day with my little brothers. I got a great shot. I got a great handle. I can play basketball.
So I can't wait to ask you this. It's almost like the versus battles. Anytime somebody wants to go against somebody else, they beef up. So I have to ask you, if you had to compare your basketball game to somebody in the NBA, who would you compare your game to?
Trae Young. Trae Young.
Come on. That's a good one right there.
Trae Young. I can dribble and I like to shoot from deep.
He said, I like to shoot from deep. I got the feeling he can really play. We might need you on my rec league tonight, Shakur.
Yeah, I'm with that.
So when you can't be in the gym every hour that you're awake. You can't be on a basketball court every hour that you're awake. So what do you do to unwind? What are some hobbies? What do you do to get away?
I like to play,
pickleball?
Oh yeah, ping pong.
Ping pong.
I like ping pong.
Ping pong.
I go play basketball. I play video games. I like to just hang with my family. Like, I got a big family at the end of the day, so I like to just chill with my family, my little brothers, and we just enjoy ourselves at the end of the day. We enjoy each other's company because at the end of the day, I got to get ready for fights and I'm not going to be around them all the time. So I got to catch them while I can.
Thank you for being not only a terrific athlete, but an athlete that's willing to allow the public to come inside and meet your family and see Jay Prince. And you allowed us to know that you have a daughter on the way. So talk to us about the process of expecting your daughter and how excited you are about that.
I'm definitely really excited. I can't wait to meet her. I've been seeing her like in my shorty stomach, and she be like kicking her stomach and doing all the crazy stuff. So I know she's gonna be kind of hyper, and I can't wait to meet her at the end of the day. But we just getting ready. I think it'll be more real whenever the time comes. Like whenever I actually get to see her and see her face, I think it'll be more real. Right now, it's like we talking about it, and I see her. You know, I see her belly and stuff, but I don't actually get to see my daughter. So I think once the time get here, it'll be way more realistic.
Well, I got a few pieces of advice for you, anyone else about to have a kid. Number one, no snaps on the pajamas. We need zipper pajamas only, all right? You don't want to be snapping 15 snaps. Zippers only. Swaddle blankets with the Velcro. You don't want to roll up your daughter and then have to, you know, like tie it. No, they got Velcro swaddle blankets. And you need to be nice with the diapers, because let's be honest, your shorty's going to be doing a lot more of the direct care for the newborn. So you're on diaper duty. You got to get nice with the wipes, nice with the diapers. You know, that's my advice right there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Velcro, I got you.
Yeah, Velcro and zippers. Anyone gives you any pajamas with snaps, you just throw them right in the trash. Not even worth it.
Okay.
And champ, again, thank you very much for joining us, because once people have Ye coming out and Michael B. Jordan and they become multiple champions, sometimes they forget about the little people like us. And you've been on the show, you know we got love for you, so I have to ask you, what's next for you in boxing? What do you want to see happen for you next in boxing?
I want to see me go get the WBC belt from Oscar Valdez, and then we could look forward to winning the IBF and WBA. I'm trying to be undisputed in the 130 weight class. I seen Teofimo do it, and I feel like that's something that I want to do personally. So it'll be a great accomplishment if I can get it done.
Well, we look forward to you joining us after every fight, every step of the way. We always got love for you here, Shakur. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, appreciate y'all too. Thank you.
All right, love.
Enjoy your day. Thank you, Shakur, for coming through. Look forward to him joining us again. We'll be back tomorrow with another dope pod to step to. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We are not done.